إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, our discussions in our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad will still be on the jar. The discussions will still be on the jar, our neighbors. Our last discussions were upon the fact that to have a jarun salihun, to have a pious neighbor, is from the favors of Allah upon the individual. That an individual has a jarun salihun, a pious neighbor, a neighbor who fears Allah and maintains his limits. This is from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith is a well-known hadith that we read in the last class, in which the messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that min sa'adatil mar'il muslim, from the things that show the Muslims success in this dunya, from the things that help the Muslim to that shows that the Muslim has attained success in this dunya, is al-maskanul wasi', that he has a residence that is spacious, wal-jaru salih, he has a neighbor that is pious, wal-markabul hani, and that he has a nice ride, a comfortable ride, a ride that is suitable for him. The fourth thing from these issues is that he has zawjun salihun, a pious spouse, whether husband or wife. These four things have been known from the text of the statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and from day-to-day life, that they are the four things that indicate an individual success, and they help him to attain the success of the hereafter. These four things, they indicate that he is successful in this dunya. He has a pious wife, he has a pious neighbor, he has a pious ride, and then he has a spacious residence, his own. They indicate that this individual is successful, and these four things will indicate success when they help that individual to gain the success of the hereafter. If the individual has these four things and they are not a means for him to gain the hereafter, then they are, rather than being a ni'mah, from the aspects of ni'mah, they are from the aspects of nikmah. They are from the aspects of trials for him. They are from the aspects of punishment for him. Because they are the same things by which he will be asked on the day of Qiyamah why he has not worshipped Allah, despite the fact that these things have been made available to him. So, al-jaru salih, that the individual has a pious neighbor, is the point of reference in it. It is from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your pious neighbor will help you attain piety. Your pious neighbor will help you attain piety. That will guarantee your safety in this dunya. Bismillah, it will also guarantee you success out of the mercy of Allah on the day of Qiyam. So a pious neighbor is very necessary for us. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us pious neighbors to our neighbors, and to make our neighbors pious people to us. The next chapter is the opposite of what we just said. Babu al-jar. Al-jaru su, babun al-jaru su, or babul jari su, the chapter regarding the evil neighbor. May Allah protect us. We remember that we had said, despite the fact that the individual may be evil, he may be a kafir, he is still our neighbor. He may be a Muslim, he is still our neighbor. The jar can also be a fasik, a sinful person. He may also be a salih. So as we desire and pray for the pious neighbor, the individual may become tried by Allah with a neighbor that is not pious. May Allah protect all of us. What is it that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has said regarding a neighbor that is not a pious person? Sometimes we would have neighbors, it is the sound of the music that we detest all about them. They play the music, they bang the music, the entire house, in our own house, not in theirs, are affected by the music. Some of the neighbors are drunkards. Some of the neighbors are idolaters. Some of the neighbors have young people who fornicate inside the home. And all of these vices that we have seen, may Allah protect all of us. What is it that the Sharia says regarding these kinds of situations? The first of it was mentioned to us by Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, under Hadith number 117. He said in it that Haddathana Sadaqa. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Sadaqa. قال أخبرنا سليمان ابنه قال أخبرنا سليمان هو ابن حيان عن ابن عجلان عن سعيد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال كان من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء في دار المقام فإن جار الدنيا يتحول كان من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء في دار المقام فإن جار الدنيا يتحول فإن جار الدنيا يتحول. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا صدقة. He has reported this hadith from his Sheikh Sadaqah, who said, Akhbarana Sulaiman. Sadaqah reports from his own Sheikh Sulaiman ibn Hayyan, Abu Khalid al-Kufi. Sulaiman ibn Hayyan, Abu Khalid al-Kufi. He is reporting from al-Imam ibn Ajlan, Muhammad ibn Ajlan. Muhammad ibn Ajlan was a great scholar of hadith. In his times, he used to teach hadith in the Prophet's masjid in Medina. If a person lives in the time of the Atba' al-Tabi'i, the students of the companions, and he is able to teach in the Prophet's masjid, it is no other than evidence for his scholarship. Although the Imam Muhammad ibn Ajlan finally passed away in Egypt, in Alexandria specifically, he had a lot of fitan. May Allah protect all of us from fitan. Muhammad ibn Ajlan is the Shaykh of Sulaiman ibn Hayyan. In this hadith, he says, "An Sa'id." He says, "An Sa'idin, an Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu." This hadith, the companion of the hadith is who? Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who said, "Kana min du'a'in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." From the supplications the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeatedly make alayhi salatu wa sallam is that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. Oh Allah, Allahumma, oh Allah, inni a'udhu bika min jari su. A'udhu bika, I seek refuge with you. I come to you seeking protection, seeking solace in you. Protect me, O Allah. Inni a'udhu bika, O Allah. Indeed, I seek refuge, I seek protection with you, min jari su, against the evil neighbor, away from the evil. I ask you to protect you, to protect me from having an evil neighbor. Oh Allah, I ask your protection. Don't let me have an evil neighbor. Another meaning of that. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of the evil neighbor. The both of them come under seeking protection from an evil neighbor. Seeking protection from Allah not to have an evil neighbor. Seeking protection from Allah not to be hurt by a neighbor who is already evil. So is to, you may get into a locality and that's your residence. By the time other residents in that locality begin to come, oh Allah, don't bring an evil person to me. And you may be the one who finally wants to reside in that area. Oh Allah, when I reside in this area, protect me from the evil of those who will be my neighbors in this area. So we both seek, if you already have a neighbor that is bad now, this dua is suitable for you. If you know a bad and unrighteous neighbor, say this dua. If you don't have one now, say the dua so that you don't have at all in the future. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. Oh Allah, I ask your protection. I seek refuge with you away or against jaruns or jaru su. This is from the idafa of the sifa to the mausuf. We ascribe the adjective to the noun that it describes. The adjective is asu. The noun that is described, it describes is what? The jar. So jaru su. Allah, I ask your protection from jaru su. Fi daril muqam. I ask your protection from jaru su. Fi daril muqam. Darul muqam has been given two interpretations. Let's continue. It says, "Fi daril muqam, fa inna jar ad-dunya yatahawwal." Oh Allah, I ask your protection by the first interpretation of this hadith. Oh Allah, I ask your protection away from or against who? The evil neighbor. "Fi daril muqam." I ask that protection when I'm in my permanent residence. You are at home. You built the house to reside there for the rest of life. This can be referred to as darul muqam for you, yani darul iqama, a permanent residence. Oh Allah, the place where I take for permanent residence, don't let me have an evil neighbor in it. And if I'm the one coming in, don't let me fall short from the evil of the neighbors that I will find. Allah, protect me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su fi daril muqam. Oh Allah, I ask your protection against the evil neighbor in my permanent residence. Don't let me have a problem. In this dunya, I think that's the home they refer to as country home. Wherever, where I take for a home of permanence, this is where I live, this is where I stay, myself, my home, my family, my household. That is darul iqama for me, darul muqam for me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. Oh Allah, I ask protection from you against, I ask your protection against jari su, the evil neighbor. Fa inna jaru dunya yatahawwal. Because jaru dunya, and it occurs in other riwayat of this hadith, it says فَإِنَّ جَارُ الْمُسَافِرِ instead of جَارُ الدُّنْيَا. It comes with the word جَارُ الْمُسَافِرِ in other reports of this hadith. The same hadith from Muhammad ibn Ajlan, from Sa'id, from Abu Huraira. It says فَإِنَّ جَارُ الْمُسَافِرِ or فَإِنَّ جَارُ الْبَوَادِ يَتَحَوَّلِ. جَارُ الْمُسَافِرِ is a neighbor you have during a journey. It can come in many ways. A neighbor you have during the journey, you are flying a plane together. You are going to fly for 16 hours. Those who travel to the US, across the Atlantic, you travel 16 hours minimum. 16 hours from Nigeria, from I think to New York, 16 hours. From Nigeria to the UAE, specifically Dubai, 8 hours. So when you are on the journey for 8 hours, you have a neighbor. You have a seatmate, oh Allah. Yes, this seatmate can change because after 8 hours, you are going to stop being neighbors. Or after 16 hours, you are going to stop being neighbors. You are traveling from Abuja to Lagos. Yes, today in 1 hour journey from Abuja, from Lagos to Abuja, or from Abuja back to Lagos is simply 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes according to airline. So if you take on this journey, This is Jarul Musafir. You are going to sit by someone. This is the neighbor, the traveling neighbor, the neighbor upon a journey. Yatahawwal, it will change. Perhaps that will not be the next, the same person who will sit with you on your return journey from Abuja back to Lagos. So this kind of a neighborhood, when you are upon a journey, it changes. Or you get to Abuja as a traveler. You have a business in Abuja for 2 weeks. You return to Lagos for the rest of your stay. That is your permanent residence. So your Lagos residence is Darul Mu'aq or Darul Iqama. You sought refuge with Allah from that. Oh Allah, don't let me have an evil neighbor. But as for the neighbors, now, for the neighbors that may have in the hotel, you have a next door neighbor. You are in room 413. Your next door neighbor in room 412 is a smoker, is a drunkard, is an adulterer. And you are going to stay in the hotel for 2 weeks. There's no way you steal your neighbor. You meet on the corridor, you meet on the veranda, you meet in the restaurant, you meet in every other public places as far as the hotel is concerned. But this neighbor, yatahawwal, it will change after 2 weeks. It will change after 3 days. You may be staying for 2 weeks. He may be staying just for 3 days or for 5 days. So someone else comes to his room. So this kind of a neighborhood upon the journey, or neighborhood feel bad here, as it's in the report. You are traveling the desert. Yes, you meet with people. You travel with the people. You talk with the people. You relate with people. This kind of neighborliness, it changes from time to time. But in Darul Muqam, there's no change. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi Daril Muqam. Oh Allah, I ask refuge with you against Jaru su', the evil neighbor, fi Daril Muqam, in the place that I make as a place of a permanent residence. فَإِنَّ جَارَ الدُّنْيَا يَتَحَوَّلْ. Because the neighbor, in lexically speaking, دَارُ الدُّنْيَا, in other aspects of the dunya, we'd explain it that means the neighbor when you're upon a journey, or the neighbor when you're in the desert. This one changes. But in the place of residence, in Darul Muqam, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ جَارُ السُّوءِ. The one that is your neighbor upon a journey can change. But this one that cannot change, Allah protect me. Don't let him hurt me, and don't let me even go upon stay in an area as a permanent resident with someone who is a very, very bad person in his nature. May Allah protect all of us. This is the first interpretation that the scholars have given to this hadith. The second interpretation they have given this hadith is that they say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi dari muqam. O Allah, I ask your protection, I ask your refuge against the evil neighbor. Fi Daril Muqam. In some riwayat, it says Darul Muqama. And Darul Muqama is Al Jannah. Alladhi ahallana Darul Muqamati min fadli. La yamassuna fiha nasabu, wa la yamassuna fiha lughub. This is referring to Al-Jannah. Darul Muqama is Al-Jannah. So when you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi daril muqama, O Allah, protect me from having a bad neighbor in Darul Muqama. How can you have a bad neighbor in Al-Jannah? Ulama say what it now means is that we are talking about a home of eternal residence. If I come in the hereafter, don't let me be in Jahannam, because it is in Jahannam that people have Jarusu. In the home of eternity, in the hereafter, don't let me be in Jahannam. Don't let me be a man who will have evil neighbors in the eternal life. In the life hereafter, don't let me be with people of what evil nature, evil character. That will only be inside Jahannam. So this supplication is another way of asking Allah to protect us from neighbors who will be means for us to get into Jahannam and now finally have eternal residence in Jahannam. Because the neighborliness in this dunya, that's why he now says, فَإِنَّ جَارَ الدُّنْيَا يَتَحَوَّلُ. If it is in this dunya, we only stay in this dunya for a little while. But in the hereafter, if in case a person now finally has a bad neighbor in this dunya in the place of residence, in the hereafter, to be of a bad, to have a bad neighbor means that the person is in Jahannam. So this supplication is very expert. It begs Allah that we don't have evil neighbors. And that when we have evil neighbors, we try with evil neighbors. May Allah protect us from the evil of evil, those evil neighbors. More so that when we are on the journeys in this dunya, our neighbors change. That one is manageable. You can be patient. You can hold on. You can be steadfast. You can be overlooking when you are upon a journey. Well, we are upon a journey. We'll soon go our separate ways. How about the place of permanent residence? This is if we interpret this hadith to refer to Darul Muqam, our permanent residence in this dunya, and Darul Musafir, regarding who that journey, the neighbor we meet upon the journey. That's one interpretation. The second interpretation is the permanent neighborliness inside Jahannam. May Allah protect us from it. Don't let me be a person who will be in Jahannam to now have to have evil neighbors. Protect me. Because if I live with evil neighbors in this dunya, I can be patient with it till I die. So don't let me die and then get into Jahannam so that I now have evil neighbors again. Allah protect me. So it's a very, very comprehensive dua that Allah should protect us from evil neighbors and from the evil of neighbors, whether in this dunya or in the akhirah. May Allah never make us share neighborliness with people of evil. That means that may Allah make us from the people of Al-Jannah in the hereafter. I hope that this hadith is clear. كان من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء في دار المقام فإن جار الدنيا يتحول. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء في دار المقام فَإِنَّ جَارَ الدُّنْيَا يَتَحَوَّلُ. O Allah, I ask refuge with you from the evil neighbor في دار المقام, in the place that I make a place for permanent residence. فَإِنَّ جَارَ الدُّنْيَا يَتَحَوَّلُ. Because if I travel, فَإِنَّ جَارَ الْمُسَافِرِ, فَإِنَّ جَارَ الْبَادِيَةِ, as we had said, occurs in other reports of this hadith. Because the neighbor went upon a journey, the neighbor, when someone is in the wilderness traveling, yes, yes, that one changes. But the neighborliness in your place of permanent residence does not change. Allah protect us from an evil neighbor and protect us from the evil of a bad neighbor. So this is this dua that we have read. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make isti'aza away from a bad neighbor. If you don't have a bad neighbor now, make this dua very well and stick to it. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جار السوء في دار المقام. في دار المقام. فإن جار الدنيا يتحول. Make this dua, ask Allah to protect you from having an evil neighbor or from having a neighbor that is evil. This is what I usually think of when people advertise twin duplexes. If you advertise a twin duplex to an individual, the twin duplex just means that there's a separation at the middle. At one side of the duplex, there's a person. At the other side of the duplex, there's a person. You went and put money in it without verifying who is that next person who will be your twin in that neighbor. If you are two brothers, two Muslim brothers, two friends, two people upon Siratul Mustaqim, this is okay for you, bismillah. But you are going to be upon the same building with somebody you don't know. If you go and pay for a twin duplex, you're going to pay, you know your own, you know yourself. But the next twin, your twin on your duplex, as you call it, twin duplex, who is it that it is going to be? For me, I say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi daril muqam, fa inna jara dunya. Oh Allah, I ask your refuge from an evil neighbor or from the evil of a neighbor. In case you are the second person occupying the twin duplex, so ask Allah to protect you from the evil of the second person. May Allah protect us all. I think that will suffice. That one of the things we need to do if we become tried with having a bad neighbor is what? To be making dua to protect us from the evil of those neighbors. Some of us, like I had mentioned in the past, I've had a neighbor next to me, just the next fence. He was an idolater. Whatever he does in his room, the first victim of that is myself. He comes directly to my room until I left the area. This is it. So فَإِنَّ دَارَ الدُّنْيَا يَتَحَوَّى. This was not a permanent residence for me. So I could move away. May Allah protect us all now from evil neighbors and from the evil of the neighbors we already have. I think we can proceed to the next hadith, hadith 118. In it, the Imam Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا مَخْلَدْ ibn Malik. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا مَخْلَدْ ibn Malik. قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ibn Maghra'. قال حدثنا بريد بن عبد الله عن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقتل الرجل جاره وأخاه وأباه. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقتل الرجل جاره وأخاه وأباه. May Allah protect us. Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Makhlad ibn Malik. He said, حدثنا عبد الرحمن ibn Maghra. حدثنا عبد الرحمن ibn Maghra. He was the teacher of Makhlad ibn Malik in this hadith. قال حدثنا بريد ibn عبد الله. Burayd ibn Abdullah is the great-grandchild of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the companion of this hadith, the Sahabi of this hadith. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari had a son, his name was Abu Burda. That was what he was popularly referred to, Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari is the one who has reported this hadith. But his son, Burayd, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari had a son, Abu Burda. Abu Burda had a grandson. Abu Burda had a grandson called what? Burayd. This Burayd is Burayd ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Burda. Burayd is Burayd ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Burda. So Burayd is reporting from his grandfather, Abu Burda, who is reporting from his own father. Abu Burda is reporting from who? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So you can see the generation of scholarship in that line. May Allah make it easy for us too, that our grandchildren can report knowledge from us. Bismillah. This is very common amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have that regarding Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. You have that regarding Anas ibn Malik. You have that regarding Abdullah ibn Umar and some others amongst the companions. You also have that regarding Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he had a son. The isnad is very common. Shu'ayb and Abihi and Jaddihi. We also have the isnad of Bahaz ibn Hakim and so on. So you have these kinds of things. Tasalsulu al-riwayati al-abai anil-ajdad. Al-abnai al-ahfad anil-ajdad. Grandchildren from their fathers and then from their grandfathers and so on. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it go around all of us. This hadith is the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam said, La taqumu sa'atu hatta yaqtula ar-rajulu jarahu wa akahu wa abahu. The last hour will not be established. La taqumu sa'a. The hour will not be established. The hour will not occur. It will not happen. The hour will not occur. The hour will not be established. Hatta yaqtula ar-rajulu jarahu. Until you begin to see a man kill his neighbor. The individual will kill his neighbor. This is the neighbor that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said that ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. Jibril continued to tell me that and enjoin me to be kind to my neighbor. be kind to your neighbor, be kind to your neighbor, until I thought that he's going to give a share to the neighbor from our inheritance. This is the neighbor that when the last hour comes, yaktulu rajulu jarahu, a man will kill his neighbor. The neighbor that you should protect, you find that people begin to kill their neighbors. Neighbors become unsafe in the hands of their neighbors. He's afraid of it. The neighbor will become unsafe. And not being safe will go to the extent that you find neighbors killing their neighbors. May Allah protect all of us. It is from the signs of the last hour. Of course, the Messenger told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, La taqumus sa'atu. The hour will not be established, illa ala shirarinas, except upon the worst of human beings. So this time is the time of the worst of human beings, when a neighbor will be the one to kill his neighbor. May Allah protect all of us. Yaqtulu rajulu jarahu. A man will kill his neighbor when the last hour is near. The neighbor is the one who will suffer from his evil. And the Messenger had also told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, says la yu'minu ahadukum, he says man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu, he is not a believer, the one whose neighbor, la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu, his neighbor is not safe from the evil in his hand. It's not a person of iman. So how about when he kills the neighbor? It means there will be very low level of iman in the mind of majority of the people, not all of the people. Please let's mind this point. As worse and as bad as that time will be, people will still remain steadfast upon the religion. But the large majority of the people will be upon this evil. The reason we say some of the people will still remain upon the truth is also the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says, La tazalu ta'ifatun fi ummati zahirina ala al-haqqi mansura. Some people will continue to be upon the soundness of faith. They will continue to be upon the truth of Islam. No matter hatta ya'ti Allah bi amri, until Allah will remove the people upon the surface of that, until the hour will be established, until Allah will bring his affair. So the people will continue to be upon goodness. So there are some of the people that will remain upon steadfastness in Allah. May Allah make myself and all of us, in this dua, to be upon this kind of a goodness at a time when the people will be far away from being human beings, not to say being upon goodness. So yaqtulu rajulu jarahu, a man would kill his neighbor, wa akhahu, subhanallah, worst still, he will kill his brother. So he will graduate. He will graduate from one level of evil to another. One big evil is that an individual hurts his neighbor. It's a big evil. That's why he's referred to as al-jarusu. He's very bad. And then after that, what happens is that he goes, becomes worse. This is what happens when a person becomes a murderer. And that's why they must be taken away. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. The ruling of Allah, even in the past Sharia, before that of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. When a person kills his soul, he should be killed. He should be killed. Why? If he is not killed, he becomes worse in the act of murder. Those who kill people, they become worse when they are left. Forget about what many of the people in the Western world now say and propagate about saving life and keeping this. Saving life itself comes under killing those who kill others. Because when the one who kills knows that he will be killed, for certain he will be killed, very many others too will go away from killing. That is why Allah makes us understand in the Quran that killing those al-qisas, killing those who kill people itself, is a way of protecting life. So forget about what this propagationist of don't kill the people are saying. They themselves will not tolerate that. So when a person kills a person, you kill him. Why? Why? Because if you don't do that, he will go worse in that crime. So you will see, of course, when we say you kill him, we are talking about that he'll be arrested and tried by a competent court for that, but the authorities will take care of this so that there will not be commotion.
someone kills someone in your family, and then you kill that person, and then he comes and kills, and that family comes and kills another. It goes on as it was in the days of Jahiliyyah. But that's why when there is a central authority, the authority takes care of the person who commits a murder. So you remove him from the society so that it does not become worse. Otherwise, it was his neighbor that he killed. The next thing that will happen is that he moves and kills his brother, Yaqtulu Akhahu. And then he becomes worse after that, Wayaqtulu Abahu. He goes on to kill his father. It is usually a hard thing for a parent, for a child to kill the parent. But he goes on to do that. He starts with his neighbor and then his brother. And then he finds it then at that time, at that level of evil, to now say, okay, he goes on to his parents. May Allah protect all of us. In the report of this hadith that occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah, the companions ask the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he said this. He said, wa ma'ana ukununa yawma idhin ya Rasulallah. O Messenger of Allah, will we be in our senses at that time, O Messenger of Allah? Because if a person is with his senses, will he kill his neighbor? Will he kill his brother? Will he kill his father? Is he, will the people, will we, yakunu ma'ana ukununa yawma idhin? Wamana ukuluna yawma idhin ya Rasulallah. Are you saying this thing will happen when we still have our heads, our brains inside our heads? We still have our minds to ourselves? They asked the Messenger alayhi salat. And he said, La tunza ukulu aksari zalika zaman. Wa yukhlafu lahu haba'un minan nas la ukula lahum. At this time when an individual finds some evil boldness to kill his neighbor, and then his brother, and then his father, tunza'u ukulu akthari zalika zaman. The large majority of the people who will be resident on the earth at that time, tunza'u ukulu akthari, their intellects would have been taken away. So they would be living with foolish idiots. We're living with people who can add one and one together. We'll be taking people who can rationalize, not to say understand what is good. So they can't differentiate between goodness and evil. And for them, there's nothing like goodness. Goodness and evil are the same. So they take to evil in the name, thinking that the evil they have taken to is what? Is goodness. Their sense of balance and conscience and judgment has been taken away from them. May Allah protect us from this. So he says, وَيُخْلَفُ لَهُمْ يُخْلَفُ لَهُمْ. Those who will be left with the people in that generation who are who? هَبَاءٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Useless idiots, la ukula lahum, who will not be of any sort of an intellect or intelligence. This is what will pervade at that time when this kind of a grave evil will be committed. Yaqtulu rajulu jarahu wa akhahu wa abahu. That is to the extent an evil neighbor can be. Some neighbors can be so evil that the passing away of their fellow neighbors will be from their hands. They are the ones who report them to those who will come to commit the evil. They will have a hand in their kidnap. They have a hand in the robbery in the community. They have a hand to arrange some people to be kidnapped. They have hands in all these evils. And yet they are neighbors to the people to whom they cause harm. This is from the worst of the things that will happen to anyone. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. So we say what the Prophet said in the first hadith that he read. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. Oh Allah, I ask your refuge from the evil neighbor. Fi dar al-muqam, in the house of permanent residence. Fa inna jar al-dunya yatahawwal. Yes, the other residents, the other neighbors in other, during journeys and in other places can change, but the neighbor of the house of permanence, it may not change. We beg Allah to protect us from evil neighbors and protect us from the evil of bad neighbors. I think it will be sufficient here regarding Al-Jaru Su. May Allah protect us from Al-Jaru Su. It's really, really an evil thing. When the individual is inside his house and he's scared of the neighbor outside, he can't even go out of his fence, out of his gate, while he's
comfortable.
And for those of us who live in the same compound with others, how is it that we can't even open our frontal door except that we are scared that like, the next door neighbor who may cause us harm? May Allah protect us from this. As we do not want to be caused harm by the neighbor, likewise, we must not be means of harm to our neighbors. As we do not like to be caused harm by our neighbors, we must not also be the means of harm and evil to be directed to our neighbors. So we have a duty to be good to our neighbors, just like we desire that our neighbors are also good to us. May Allah protect all of us.
I think that would be sufficient also on Hadith number 118. With the time that we have, we can still take the next 10 minutes to discuss Hadith number 119. And in it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musaddadun. That comes under Babun La Yu'zi Jarahu.
Don't be a bad neighbor. The chapter regarding the fact that the individual should not hurt his neighbor. Don't hurt your neighbor. When a person hurts his neighbor, what is the evil that is connected to that? We read that in the Hadith number 119. That occurs under the chapter Babun La Yu'zi Jarahu. The chapter regarding the fact that the individual should not hurt or direct harm to his neighbor. In it, Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Musaddad. We read his hadith. That is Musaddad ibn Musarhad is also from amongst the students of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He said, Haddathana Abdul Wahid. He's reporting from his Sheikh Abdul Wahid, who is also reporting from Al-A'mash. He said, Haddathana Al-A'mash. Al-A'mash is who? Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Qala Haddathana Abu Yahya مولى جعدة ابن هبيرة. الإمام سليمان بن مهران الأعمش is reporting from أبو يحيى جعدة ابن هبيرة. And he is reporting from أبو هريرة. He said, سمعت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول, I heard أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه saying that, قيل للنبي يا رسول الله. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, Messenger of Allah, Inna fulana taqumu al-layla wa tasumu al-nahar wa taf'al wa tasaddaku wa tu'zi jiranaha bilisaniha. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, La khayra fiha hiya min ahli al-nar. Qalu, wa fulana tusalli al-maktuba وتصدق بأفوار ولا تؤذي أحدا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هي من أهل الجنة هي من أهل الجنة أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said that he heard when the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام was being asked يا رسول الله messenger of Allah إن فلانة تقوم الليل So and so woman, the woman's name was not mentioned by way of concealing her identity. Because the situation here is not about reporting her as an individual to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. It was about asking about her action. So for that purpose, her name was concealed. So fulana, so and so woman, taqumu al-layl. She will wake and observe the prayers in the middle of the night. وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ And then she will fast during the day. وَتَفْعَلْ She will have other good deeds that she performs. وَتَصَدَّقُ She will also be giving a lot of money in charity. She stands up in the midnight, قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ Making قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ She fasts perhaps Mondays, Thursdays, and many other fasts that many of us observe. وَتَفْعَلْ She also has many other good deeds that she performs. What a sadaqah. From amongst them is also what a sadaqah. She gives out a lot of money, give out money, giving this out. She makes qiyamul layl, she makes a lot of fasting, and so on. But she has one thing she does. What is it? Tu'zi jiranaha bilisaniha. Ya tu'zi. She directs harm. She causes harm. She brings discomfort. لِسَانِهَا إِلَى جِرَادِهَا, using her tongue and directing evil to her neighbors. Jiran, her neighbors. She abuses the neighbors. You this, you that, you dog, you calf, you whatever. Women say to people. She's nice. She makes kiyamulay. She observes salah. She gives sadaqah. She's fasting. She does all the good deeds that you can think about. She does all of this. لكن تؤذي جيرانها بلسانها. She causes harm to her neighbors by means of her tongue. She's very, very, very abusive. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, لا خير فيها. There is no good in that. There is no good in her. She's not a good person at all. La khaira. There is no kind. What is the good in this one? What is the goodness in her? That she observes salah? Or that she makes sadaqah? Or that she fasts? What that means is that the sins that these good deeds take away would not have taken her own away. Her abuse, her insults, her cursing the people, her insulting the people, they overweigh her good deeds. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, la khaira. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, la khaira fiha, hiya min ahli nar. She has no goodness in her. She's from amongst the people of the fire. This will remind us about the Prophet asking the companions about al-muflis, the one who is a wretched person. He asked them, "Atadruna manil muflis? Do you know who the wretched person is?" The companion said, "Al-muflis fina man la dirham lahu wala mata'." The one who is a muflis, the one who is a wretched person, man la dirham lahu wala mata'. He's the one who does not have cash with him, wala mata'. He does not have possession, no house, no structures, no cars, no landed property. This is the muflis. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muflisu min ummati. So let's note this point. The wretched person in this ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the person who ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati bi salati. He will come on the day of qiyamah with a lot of salah, wa zakah. He will have made a lot of zakah. May Allah protect all of us. And it will be such that qad shatama hadha, he would have abused this one, wa qadhafa hadha, and he would have falsely accused this one, wa akala mala hadha, he would have eaten up, usurped the money of another person, wa safaka dama hadha, he would have spilled the blood of another person, wa dharaba hadha, or he would have oppressed and beat up another person. He has, yes, good deeds, a lot of salah, a lot of zakah, a lot of fasting. But on the other hand, he also has a lot of abusing the people, a lot of cursing the people, a lot of beating the people, a lot of stealing the wealth of the people, a lot of taking the lives of the people and all of this. This kind of a person is a muflis. How is he a muflis? The Messenger told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, all those good deeds will be taken away to those people that he had abused. So he becomes a muflis. He does not gain anything from his fasting. He does not gain anything from his salah. He does not gain anything from his zakah. The rewards have been given to that, to those people that he was abusing. That's why the Prophet said regarding this woman, la khaira fiha. What are the rewards for her fasting, for her qiyamul layl, for her zakawat, for her sadaqat, when she spoils it all with her tongue because of too much of abusing the people, because of causing a lot of harm to our neighbors through her tongue. So the Prophet said that regarding her. May Allah protect us all. This is from the evil of being abusive to your neighbors. When you are abusive to your neighbors, you gradually drift to the level of the person who will be wretched on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. No matter your fasting, no matter your zakah, no matter your sadaqah, no matter your good deeds, when you become too abusive, when you become too abusive to your neighbors, you lose these rewards of the good deeds that you perform. قالوا, then they asked the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, wa fulana tusalli al-maktuba, but there's another woman, hiya tusalli al-maktuba, she would observe the obligatory prayers, wa tasaddaqu bi afwa, she does not have a lot of things to give sadaqa with, she only gives sadaqa with afwa. You know what is afwa? Congealed milk, the milk she has from her animal, she will keep it for some time. It becomes congealed. They use it to make cheese. This is all she has to make sadaqa. But the other woman had the entirety of this world to make sadaqa. This one doesn't have more than the milk that is congealed. Oh, messenger of Allah. But she has one thing. وَلَا تُؤْذِي أَحَدًا. She does not cause harm to anybody. This one doesn't do much, but she does not harm to people. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. She is going to be from the people of Al-Jannah. Why? Because she had not taken away the rewards of her obligatory and superiority deeds. With what? With a lot of abusing the people. With a lot of taking the lives of the people. With a lot of taking the wealth of the people. With a lot of beating up the people and oppressing them as others would be. Even if they will say they are generous. They are generous. They fast. They observe Qiyamul Layl. They recite a lot of the Quran and all of these. Yes, they do all these good deeds by which, all these evil deeds by which the rewards of the good deeds will go away. And in the end, they are unable to even have the scale of their good deeds to weigh stronger than the scale of their evil deeds. The evil deeds rather weigh stronger and heavier on the scales than the negative deeds. So the Prophet told about them, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, la khaira fiha. This kind of a woman, there is nothing good about her. Why? She spoils it all with her tongue against her neighbor. May Allah protect us all from this evil. So this is a major evil regarding our relationship with our neighbors. We must not be abusive with our neighbors. We must not be cursing regarding our neighbors. We must not be hurting regarding our neighbors. Don't do anything to your neighbor that will be so strong upon him that he begins to think evil of you. May Allah protect all of us from this. And where we all fall short, may Allah rectify all of us. These are issues wherein by the time you begin to take them up against your lifestyle, you see sometimes, somehow, somewhat, you would have fallen short somehow. May Allah rectify all of us and forgive all of us. I think it will be sufficient to stop here for today. Inshallah, our discussions tomorrow will be about Ramadan and welcoming Ramadan. What are the preparations we need to make before Ramadan comes? Because by Monday, Tuesday, they are with Ramadan. By Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be in Ramadan. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us live up until then and make Ramadan a means of getting us purified and rectified in our life and in our affairs. Inshallah, our discussions tomorrow will be about preparing for Ramadan. Preparing for Ramadan. How do we prepare for Ramadan? How do we start Ramadan? How do we fast in Ramadan? How do we conduct ourselves in Ramadan? What are the virtues of meeting up in Ramadan? I told someone, I said, we don't need to run around looking for virtues of Ramadan. Allah said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. If there is no virtue except the fact that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, is it not sufficient virtue for the month of Ramadan? So Ramadan has the Quran revealed inside it. The Quran was revealed inside the month of Ramadan. This is a huge virtue for the month of Ramadan. So how do we prepare for this month in which the Quran was revealed? Inshallah, it will be the center point of our discussion tomorrow, inshallah. So if we have one or two questions, we can quickly ask them for today. Regarding our classes as far as our neighbors are concerned. We beg Allah to protect us from the evil of our neighbors and from evil neighbors. And grant us pious neighbors, both in this dunya, and make us be among the people of Al-Jannah who will not suffer any evil from any neighbor. Assalamu alaikum, Abba Yusuf.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Now, this one says, if one has done those evils in the past, how can he repent from it?
He will repent by regretting it, recognizing the fact that they are evils. This is an evil that I have done before. I will never do it again. And then you change practically. And then replace it with things that are good. If you have been abusing your neighbors, start sending them food. Start sending them gifts, as is in the previous hadith that we addressed in the last class. Start doing something that is good. Of course, the Quran told us that in al hasanat, good deeds blot out the negative ones. So just change and turn a new leaf. Like I said during the class, if you begin to look very closely at these issues, you will find there is hardly anyone who would not find one time or a situation or a circumstance where he has acted contravening these narrations. So that's why we all, it's a matter that has to do with all of us, not just the person asking the question. Seek for ways of rectifying yourselves as far as your neighbor is concerned. You might have acted inappropriately or spoken inappropriately. Let's look for ways of making amends, and Allah forgives those who turn to Him in repentance. I hope that is clear, inshallah.
No, yes, you can. This one says, is it that the Old Quran was revealed in the best of month of Ramadan, or that its revelation began in the month of Ramadan?
Some of the scholars said that its revelation from Jibril alayhi salam, from Sama'ul Dunya to the Messenger, when we have Iqra read to the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, some scholars said it started in the month of Ramadan. But the best explanation to the Quran being revealed in the month of Ramadan is the explanation from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that what that meant was that Allah sent down the Quran from Lawh al-Mahfuz to Sama'ul Dunya in the month of Ramadan. The Quran came down from Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet above and above all there. It came down from there up to Sama'ul Dunya, the heavenly, the earthly heaven, the nearest heaven to the earth. That happened in the month of Ramadan, and that happened for the whole Quran as a whole piece. Then gradually it was coming down to the Prophet over the period of 23 years. This is the explanation that the scholars have, many of them amongst the companions or the Tabi'un, have given to the revelation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. It came down from Lawh al-Mahfuz to Bayt al-Ma'mur in the month of Ramadan. Allahu a'lam.
This one says, how do one handle a case where you offer your neighbor food and he rejects the food?
Take it back happily and send another one at another time. If you have an opportunity to ask the neighbor why they have rejected, ask them. But don't let that deter you from something that is good. Good deed is a good deed, whether the one to whom we do it recognizes it or not. We should continue to do it. And then we should open other frontiers for the good deed. If they reject it, take it back gracefully. Eat it, and then send another one at another time. Someday, somehow, they will have a rethink. And for all the ones that you have sent, your rewards are established. So you don't have any need to feel negative about it. Don't feel insulted, even though it is insulting, but don't feel insulted. Take it back, send another one at another time. If you have an opportunity to ask why it has been rejected, you ask. If you don't want to ask, don't ask. Sometimes when they see you, it's a sufficient question. Just merely looking at you after rejecting your food, it's a sufficient question. So when you don't ask, you still greet the person very well, it is sufficient. You send another one at another time. So perhaps after that time, you stop rejecting. Maybe the person too will change and become better than you in terms of that. Allahu a'lam.
This one says, please, which way should we straighten our suku? Is it by toes or ankles or ears? Where can I see the hadith?
The first way to sufuf and suddul khalal, closing up the ranks and straightening the rows, should start from our heels.
straightening the rows and covering up the gap should start from the heels, not from the small fingers. Many of the people, or the toes, many of the people do that. You see the toes, and then at the back, you see a rectangle that is formed where Shaitan camps during the Salah. So you should cover up the toes. When you should cover up the heels, start with the heels. When you block the heels, then you bring the toes to touch themselves. So the entirety of the feet and the side of the knees and the side of the hip will be touching one another if you start from the heel, from near your ankle. Start with that area. Let that area touch themselves first before you clip the rest of the parts to themselves. That is the evidence from Anas ibn Malik and Bara ibn Azib. The hadith of Anas ibn Malik occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the hadith of Bara ibn Azib occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. The two of them say what we remember about Taswiyat al-Sufuf when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to make Taswiyat al-Sufuf, is that we see each of us connecting his heels to the heels of his brother, his ankle to the ankle of his brother, the side of his knee to the side of the knees of the brother, his hip to the hip of the brother, and then the shoulder to the shoulder of the brother. So that means we start from the heel, as we have described. So that is how to make Taswiyat al-Sufuf. I hope that that is clear, inshallah. This should be the last question for today, Allah Yusuf.
The question says, my nawafi often means the ikoman, and I have to terminate it. Do I have the reward for the nawafila?
Yes, you have the reward of intention. You have the reward of intention. Start your nawafil early so that it does not have to take your time. Because once the ikoma starts, your nafila becomes obliterated. So start your nawafil early so that you don't obliterate, you don't cancel out your salah when the ikoma is pronounced. Whether you make taslim or not, that nafila you are observing when the obligatory salah is being called upon, is being established, it becomes null and void. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الَّتِي أُقِيمَتْ إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الَّتِي أُقِيمَتْ This expression of the hadith clears it. When the salah is being established, when the obligatory prayer is being established, no prayer is valid except that prayer that is being established. So your nawafil will be becoming obliterated, whether you make the sleep or not. You see some of the people, they will say, I am almost through with the nafila. I'll quickly finish it. I'll join the first rakah. From the time that the ikoma ends, that your nafila becomes null and void, whether you make the sleep or not. So start your nafila earlier before the congregation starts the obligatory salah. May Allah make it easy for us and accept it. I think we can stop here, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.